All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's John again. Welcome to High Minded Seeking Righteousness. Today we're going to be speaking a little bit about honesty. And this is a tough one. It is a tough one because I think all of us know honesty. You know, people will often be dishonest. And there's all sorts of facets to honesty, lying by omission, being lying to yourself, lying to others, and even removing lying from the definition of it. Honesty is also about your content of character and being semi-transparent. Now, transparency also has an issue, and I've struggled with it because I've purposed in countering the consequences of dishonesty in my own life. I've become extremely transparent, and that is not necessarily best practice, and that doesn't require you to be without any deception or deceit, which is, again, it's a real difficult struggle, and it's something that any input on is extremely valuable. So that being said, I'm going to start this off by talking about what honesty, the aspect or the facet of honesty that I'm going to be discussing is. And it's going to be, you know, telling the truth or being deceptive, because there are people that can tell the truth in very deceptive ways and have long-reaching consequences. But you can tell the intent of it for the most part, or you can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears. You can tell whether something is good or evil by the fruit that the tree has, whether or not, you know, if you plant an orange seed, you're going to get an orange tree. And you can tell that it's an orange tree even if you haven't planted the seed. The person who plants the seed should know what they're planting, and sometimes you don't know. I've spent a long time, many years of my life, trying to identify the seeds that I'm planting, but so that when I go to plant the seed again, by something I say or something I do, those are the seeds we're planting. When you plant a seed, it's an interaction, or it's the, the behavior, whether it be through words or actions, you're planting a seed, and that seed will bear fruit. Now, like I said, it's very difficult sometimes to tell the seed, but you can tell the seed after the fact and by the fruit that it bears. So, that being said, these seeds of deception or seeds of truthfulness. Now, you're not always going to get the result that you want. The thing about honesty is sometimes that fruit that you get is a tough pill to swallow. In fact, honesty is one of these things where, unlike kindness, see, love, it doesn't say love is honesty and love is truthfulness, because that's very interesting and I don't want to dilute it, but honesty is a valuable asset and can help with growth and help with relationships, and it's important, but it is a very tricky virtue to work through. And it does take a lot of thoughtfulness and a lot of consideration when you're dealing with honesty. So, being said that it's not just about telling the truth, it's about being open, maybe, and it must be used for good, because it can be used for evil. Now, I'm going to give you an example here of, because let me go further. The real issue of being dishonest is breaking trust. Now, everyone at some point has told, you know, whether you want to call it a white lie or whatever, a lie. And in your own head, it may have had a different perspective or different people could justify the behavior. But unfortunately, sometimes it bears bad fruit. But honesty is something that needs to be considered from my standpoint, like a bag of tricks, maybe. No, it's a bag of something. That's where you reach in and you pull this thing out, and it can either be used as something to heal or something to hurt. It can be a weapon in the wrong hands. And I'll speak to some of the... Now, honesty, there's not really science around it, but honesty has some effects on the psyche, and dishonesty has some effects on the psyche. Excuse me, I'm gonna have another sip of some coffee here. Has some effects on the psyche that can be long lasting. Honesty can affect people negatively or positively, can affect relationships negatively or positively. And it is a very, you have to opt when and how to use it. You know, you think of a husband, and the wife turns and says, do these pants make me look fat? I'm sure everybody's familiar with this example. Now, that's a question. That's a loaded question, as they say it. People like to set up loaded questions where you can't win either way, almost. But you know, you either have to be dishonest. If in fact you do feel that the pants make her look fat, you can't go down that road necessarily. So I'm going to give you some specific experiences I've gone through where honesty has been misused, and or where honesty has, or dishonesty has had a negative effect. So there was a time where I had lied about something very specific out of self-preservation, out of trying, because I was concerned that I was being set up, and I lied to protect myself. And quite often, this is very commonplace. The effects of dishonesty, for the most part, people use lies for a variety of reasons: to protect others, most likely to protect themselves or to benefit in some way. But I believe the most common utilization of being dishonest or telling a lie is to protect yourself. And this is common human nature. And sometimes, unfortunately, it is valuable. Now, from a Christian perspective, one of the biggest things that the Bible speaks of, the two ways that it speaks of honesty specifically, is in Proverbs 24. It says, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. It's a very valuable thing when someone gives you an honest answer. But in Job 6, verse 25, it says, how painful are honest words. How painful are honest words, exclamation point. How painful. But it follows that up to say, but what do your arguments prove? The arguments after, what do they prove? They prove nothing. Honesty does prove things appropriately if it's honest. So the biblical perspective, the Bible understands how painful honest words can be. Now, from a psychological standpoint, there are real issues with wielding lies, even wielding truth as weapons. Because again, honesty is one of these things that I do recommend and challenge all of my listeners to spend time with, significant time, evaluating and reevaluating and analyzing and reanalyzing the effects of honesty. So one of the stories that, again, my dad used to tell me to kind of give me a perspective on on honesty and its effects, and how potentially, you know, right or wrong, whether or not is it right to always tell the truth. Well, it's a tough pill to swallow. So he would tell me a story of Nazi Germany, World War II, and the Nazi army is running around wrangling up or capturing up the Jews in a small town. And a Jewish family with two children, a mother and a father and two children, run up to a German's house, a Christian German's house, and they knock on the door. They're trying to escape the army who's going around capturing these Jews to bring them to concentration camps. And the door opens and the Jews are there, and they're saying, hey, can you hide us? The Nazis are coming to get us. And so the Christian German people say, sure, come in, hurry up, come in and hide. And they go and they run down into the basement, and the family closes the door. Now, sure enough, the Nazi soldiers walk up to that house and knock on that door. Now, this Christian gentleman opens the door and says, how can I help you? And they say, we've been looking for Jews in this town, and wanted to know if you've seen any. It would help us greatly. We're having a hard time. But if you could tell us, you know, if you know anything, there's a reward for you. You know, have you seen any Jewish people? That's the moment of truth, so to speak. The decision making, and I'm jumping in here and telling it. And the guy says, no, have not. No Jews. I'd certainly let you know if I saw any Jews, or if I knew anything, I'd help you out, absolutely. He says, all right, thank you much, and the soldiers leave. Now, this Christian German fellow has lied on his face. Bad behavior. I mean, if you just said, oh, without knowing the story, without knowing the circumstances, you would say, well, a lie is bad. But under these circumstances, clearly it's not. Clearly it's a powerful tool, a shield that protected this Jewish family. So that's one example where it becomes, you have to give it analysis and say, well, is telling the truth always the right, the good thing to do? Is telling a lie in itself evil? And I've come to the determination that no, it is not. And additionally, on a daily basis, you know, people use deception to avoid negative situations quite often. And so you can see that it's not as simple. It's very, very complex when it comes to being honest with someone about these things. Now that brings me to a second example of deception. And in a relationship, dishonesty, though, on a selfish level, see, that was a selfless lie, but even a selfish level, you have to protect yourself from people. But when you're using, lies can also be used on a very substantial negative level, which I'll talk about later, a little bit later in the segment here. But specifically, when you're dealing with somebody who's depending on your honesty, somebody who means no ill will, then out of respect for that person, and we spoke a little bit about respectfulness in the last episode, but being respectful of that person requires you to be honest with them, and especially in a close personal relationship where neither the one person or the other should mean any ill will towards the other or mean them no harm. It's important that you're honest with each other. Now, I've been in relationships where deception was almost nonstop. I just watched Avengers Endgame. It was actually in the other one, Infinity War. I love the superhero movies. In Infinity War, there's a scene where Thanos, the bad guy, is talking to someone else, and he says to him, he says, "Why would I lie to you?" And his response is, "Well, I'd presume it's almost like breathing for you now." And normally that's just kind of a line that would slip by, but it reminded me very much of somebody that I've had, unfortunately, very close to me. Now, the reason, the motive for this person's lies were twofold. Self-preservation, they would regularly lie because they were concerned that I would get upset with the truth. And, in fact, I would, but that's no excuse to lie to someone that you care about. That's no excuse to lie to someone that you love, that you're afraid they'll get upset. For example, if they've cheated on you and you've asked them, I mean, and then we'll get to the even to the further level, because you're going to lie. You're going to lie in life. Everybody's going to do it. Now, you're also going to lie for self-preservation, because it's an immediate thing. When you're put on the spot to tell the truth, it becomes very difficult. So that's why I often like to come back to something and ask the person, did you tell me the truth about this? Direct questioning, meaning it's important to me that I know the truth. And you can't use the excuse that I was afraid of how you'd react, I was afraid you'd get mad, because you have to allow the person to be mad about your behavior. That's the only way. That's just appropriate. That's respect. You have to give them the truth and allow them to decide based on the truth what they would like to do and how they feel and process it, rather than lie to them, especially over prolonged periods of time, because it's selfish, you know. And when we get into love, we'll talk about selflessness. But if you love someone, you cannot put your fear of consequence, because you're deceiving them. You're not respecting them enough to give them the truth. So the example here with this person who would just lie nonstop, I mean, about every little thing. But the problem was, I don't mind when someone's deceptive. You know, my kids, when you're kids, when we're kids, you know, did you do this? First reaction, you're afraid you're going to get in trouble. Did you eat the cookie? No, I didn't eat it. The dog did it. Sometimes the dog did do it, but there's most of the time the child's lying to preserve, because they don't want to deal with the consequences of their behavior. And this is outright wrong. You're in a bad place when you do that. And then often it leads to a spider web of different lies that you need to tell. And often dishonesty can also be contagious. Research actually shows that when an individual acts in their own best interests instead of being honest, that the behavior may then be established as the norm, leading to an increase in the number of people acting in an unethical or deceitful manner, which is what happens and has happened in my very own home. Now, I don't want to go into specific things, but especially when you start doing what I call negative team building, where you find multiple people. For example, let's take a child that's being deceitful with one of the parents and is lying for their own self-preservation. That deceitful behavior, then the other parent goes along with that deceitful behavior. They join into it. Now it's become okay, because both parents have equal weight. So the other parent is now supporting that deceitful behavior, and that will become the norm. It will become the standard, which is why, again, the parents have to always join together closer and have to take each other's side before they take their kids. And I know that we have to look after our kids. I love my children, but you have to support your spouse in a marriage before your children. And that's where we get into real difficulties in relationships where one parent is a biological parent and, you know, can say one thing or the other, but parents have to teach their kids in the way they should go. So this deceptive practice where somebody would lie to protect their own, they didn't want to deal with the consequences of their actions. It creates also an easy out. Oh, well, if I just lie, I'm not going to get in trouble for it. And, you know, I'll keep going down that road. So we know the intentions here, the intentions for lying, the bulk of the time are self-preservation or selfless or selfishly motivated. And when you're motivated selfishly, you're in a bad place. And you're that seed of that dishonesty for selfish motivation, in my experience, has always led to bad fruit, destruction. It's always led to destruction. There's the expression that the truth comes out eventually. It all comes out in the wash. It all comes out in the wash, and it does. It all comes out. And, you know, you can do damage when it's not addressed immediately. But there are tools that I've used or that I've learned that I tried to impart on my children, and my youngest has been extremely successful with it. My two youngest guys have been extremely successful with it, but the oldest have been deceived and have seen a pattern of deception. And as such, it causes conflict, especially when people will not give up their position, when they will defend their lie tooth and nail to the end, because now at this point, they don't want to be a liar. And when somebody says, like I said, when somebody says, oh, I never lie, they back themselves in a corner, because if they do lie, they cannot self-correct, or else they'll be destroying this impression or this image that they've given across the board for a prolonged period of time. Their whole life they've said, oh, I never lie. Now if you catch them in a lie, that's such a substantial, now it's a major hit. Now, the tools that I use when I find myself in a situation where knee-jerk reaction, which is quite often when people lie, if somebody puts them on the spot, they know they've done something wrong, they wanted to kind of sneak away, or they know they've done something that they didn't know was wrong, maybe, or was a self-preserving issue or something selfish that they were dealing with, and the person asks them, and they immediately say, no, I didn't do that. That's common. That's very understandable. And I'm often very, I can forgive and I can understand that. I can forgive a lot, but I can understand that. And I know that that happens all the time. I know that it happens regularly. And there's no harm initially, potentially, in that, because that doesn't necessarily tell me that this person is a liar. All it tells me is that they're a human, that, you know, their self-defense mechanism has kicked in and they haven't spent time analyzing the effect or, you know, how to react. It's that initial deception that no. Now, what happens is now time passes and it cannot be a long period of time. The longer it is, the more damage the deception does. So that deception, that lie now, somebody says, no, I didn't eat the cookie. Did you eat the cookie? No, I didn't eat the cookie. No, 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 it was a dog. Okay, well, I hope you're not lying to me. I'll believe you because I hope you're not lying to me. And open the door for them. Say, you know, but if you are, just tell me the truth whenever. And that's tough because they're still in defensive mode. No, no, no. All right, I hope you're not lying to me. Thank you for telling me the truth. Give them some time to sit with that. Hopefully, you know, no longer than a day really is really appropriate. Longer than that, then they feel they've just been shirking the consequences of it. But reward the honesty. So, for example, my youngest will be able to say, you know, they'll say, no, no, no. But then he'll come over to me, you know, usually 15, 20 minutes later and say, Daddy, I ate the cookie. And wow, it warms my heart. Now, see, he did lie, but that is an expected behavior under a circumstance where you're facing consequence. It's a knee-jerk reaction. It's a self-preservation reaction. So you have to give people some time to get to the point where they know they had a knee-jerk reaction, and now you've got to face the fire. You got to face the music. You have to go deal with it, because that's what helps you stop in the bad behavior. It's a positive, constructive thing. And if you're seeking righteousness, you want to correct these things. And the longer it takes, the more. But you should always, especially when you know something like that is clear cut. His motive was self-preservation. His motive was selfish. He didn't want to get in trouble. But he had that content of character to be able to address it as soon as he processed it and said, it's not who I want to be. He doesn't want to get in. He doesn't want to be a liar. And a liar keeps the lie going, holds on to it. The worst type of liars, the real dangerous, and we'll talk about the dangers of dishonesty and even the people that will use truths and half-truths or misrepresented truths painted in such a way. They paint the truth to look in one way or another to bring your emotions a certain direction in the second half of the segment here. But you don't want to be a liar. There are people that will lie, and then they'll never abandon the lie. They'll spend everything they've got to paint the picture in such a way that the deception, they want to reframe the truth, is what people call it. Reframe the truth. Give it a different perspective. There is positivity to this, from what I understand, where, you know, people will look at something from a different perspective. Don't reframe the truth. You can't reframe the truth. Reframe circumstances or things that you feel bad about, right? These are things that I was talking to someone about. So you may feel terrible about something that you did, but you need a better perspective on it and realize another person's perspective on it that takes the guilt away from you. Reframe that. You can't reframe the truth. Truth need be presented as it is, with all facets involved. Often it's painted with emotion. Often it's painted with selfish desire. Somebody will take something and want to frame it and position the truth in such a way for you so that you're on their side. And this leads into self-deception, which then creates a whole different ball game for everybody. But that person will be stressed. That person will deal with worry, and they're going to have all sorts of issues with the deceit, because it'll affect their mental health. Often people with mental health issues, serious mental health issues, are dealing with a major lie or a series of deceptions that they're having a hard time carrying with them. It has a significant negative impact. People don't view themselves honestly, but with a sense of authenticity, then they know, the spirit, the psyche knows that they are not, in fact, who they claim to be, that they are being deceptive, that this situation that has arisen is not as it is, and that the only reason that things are as they are is because they painted a false picture. And the consequences of these things are significant, and people will use even the truth to do damage and to manipulate, turning truth into deception. And I'll speak a little bit about that in the next segment. And on segment two here, continuing where we were talking, you will hear these little breaks in between. I don't have any sponsorship yet, but there's a spot there for sponsorship where potentially there'll be a commercial down the road. But continuing where we left off, people will use the truth for negative results as a weapon. Now, I used the example earlier about the Nazis and the Jewish family. Now, that Jewish family trusted these German people to protect them. And they had to have known that faced with the opportunity that that would require them to lie. But it doesn't always require, but there's often issues where in order to protect someone from harm, you need to be, or you have to make the determination of whether or not you're going to be deceptive. And I have figured out ways to protect that, because for the most part in day-to-day interactions, you're not protecting someone's life in that. That was the extreme life or death situation, which I'll often use extreme situations so that we can see one end of the spectrum. And then you can analyze the other end of the spectrum is if in fact the Christian family had said, well, we can't lie here. We've got to say, yes, we've got Jews in the basement, then potentially everybody dies. You see, so that's the lowest end. So you could see in that correlation, and you can see that potentially there's a range in between. Better to go to the black and whites and find the grays, then you can fill in the whole spectrum of colors in between. But the truth can be wielded as a weapon. And this is where trust comes in with honesty. And honesty has a significant effect on whether or not someone can trust you. And so you deceive someone. If you lie to someone, then you're going to do damage to trust. Trust can be reestablished. The nice thing about trust is, say, for example, when I was using my son, my little guy, and, you know, he lied to protect himself, self-preservation, to protect himself from consequence. But shortly thereafter, in short time, he came back and addressed it. So the trust was there. I know that given the circumstance, I have the consideration and understanding for why he had that knee-jerk reaction to lie. And then I knew that I could trust that he would eventually, in short term, before any real significant damage or decisions could be made based on those things, I knew that it could be resolved. Now, if he maintained that lie over time and avoided the consequence and never told the truth, he's going to damage the trust that I have in him. And ultimately, he's going to damage his own character himself. It does bite back. It bites back on you when you are deceptive. So for using one of the other things I want to use as an example here with why it's respectful. Say, for example, someone has cheated on you and you've lied to them about it. And they believe that you've never done that. And they would never marry someone, let's say, who's done that, who's cheated on them, especially somebody who's cheated on them regularly. They would never marry that person. But you don't tell them the truth. And you put them in a position where maybe they're going to make a decision to propose or to get married to this person. But you've lied to them about who you actually are. And you've set up a position where it's a very extreme disrespect, where they'll make a decision that they would not normally make that could affect their life. They decide that they wouldn't do that because they don't want that in their life. And they go down that road. And now it destroys everything else that they believe in. Now they have to divorce, or they lose all these things because of the deception, whereas as if it had been nipped in the bud early on, which I believe is a floral term. I do hear a lot of people say nipped in the butt, and that's I'm confident that that is not the correct term. It's nipped in the bud, and I believe that that has to do with florists, a bud of a flower or something like that, but just a little background there. But so you've set somebody up and you've created a bad fruit. That seed, you've planted a bad seed and it yields bad fruit. So these are the things that often I'll get upset about, and why dishonesty and specifically can be a betrayal because somebody will make decisions based on inaccurate information. So you have to trust people. I do remember, and people will defend their position and they'll go down the road. They'll almost speak nonstop. I remember there was someone who once said, was sitting around with a group of people and for the intention to maybe perceive themselves in a higher light, that person has to self-analyze themselves. They said they're making smoking in the car with children illegal. Now, I am a smoker, so I do smoke in the car, and I would transport my children from point A to point B in the vehicle. So this is something that I said, what? I would have thought it would have been big news like that. They got to let people know about these things. I don't want to be breaking the law. So I said, I couldn't believe in everybody. Like, oh, yeah. And she stood by. I said, that can't be. It can't be. So I did a little research. And in fact, it had come up. She had heard it. Something in. But she had spit out the information and had informed everybody in the room with misinformation. So that potentially going forward, they would make decisions and determinations and possibly propagate that information about so that these lies spread through the masses. And it becomes, this is that false news and things like that that we're dealing with, fake news or whatever, that's constantly going on. You need to check the source. You need to check the source, which is why I also encourage people to go right to the Bible to check these things. You may hear things from your pastor or opinions or beliefs, but people will often just speak. And you need to avoid those people because they're very dangerous. Because they will put you in the position, if you believe them, to make decisions and determinations based on a misrepresentation. And often they'll speak very adamantly to defend their position. But now trying to get back onto using the truth as a weapon. So I recently had an experience where someone was, and there are two examples of this. And I got to try to deal with this because I don't want to. Someone had said to someone, he's threatening me now. Now, it was a friend of mine and another friend of mine. Let's call them two guys for the sake of this discussion. And the one guy, they're in an argument. They do not like each other. They are motivated to hurt each other. I mean, they didn't get in a physical fight ultimately, but they're motivated. Their pure motivation is neither of them are saying, oh, I was wrong in this at this point. Ultimately, they did come down the road and at least one of them was able to say and spoke to me and said, you know, I may have been wrong here. I may have been wrong. That's a huge step because it's very difficult, but that's a step towards personal growth. But this person came and said to me, said he's threatening me. And I said, wait, because I knew the other guy, luckily, very well. But there were people that don't, you know, there were people that are this, let's say, I got to use names here. Let's call them Mike and Ike. Okay. Mike and Ike are fighting. Mike is just kind of sitting around. And Ike comes to me and Ike says, Mike is threatening me. And I'm like, well, that doesn't say in my mind, I'm thinking that doesn't sound like Mike. Now there are people that don't know Mike and Ike is telling everybody that Mike is threatening him. Now they're saying, what? Holy crap. Now me, I said, wait a second, because I know Mike. I said, that doesn't sound like Mike. How is he threatening you? I had to delve into that because I don't believe is a liar and is very adamant about him not being a liar. I'm not a liar, Ike always says. And he wasn't lying because Mike had in fact threatened Ike. But the way Mike threatened Ike was not physically, it was, hey, if you don't stop this, I'm going to stop paying your bills. All right, that was the threat. Now, without that additional information, it seemed like Mike was some sort of monster. Mike's threatening Ike. How could he be doing this? And the people are getting worked up. And Ike's intention is to get everybody on Ike's team to say, Mike's a bad guy. He's threatening me. But Mike, I had to delve in and say, well, how is Mike threatening you? And be honest. He said he was going to stop paying my bills if we don't. Well, okay. All right. that seems like a valid determination or a discussion that people should have when they're at odds with each other. I could understand why Mike would not want to continue paying Ike's bills. But Ike, in his attempt to build a team, began, you know, by framed the truth, painted a picture by using a terminology that, while it was true, was inflammatory. And just that piece of information in itself is inflammatory and gets people worked up. And most people are not going to delve into the, hey, give me the whole story. I need more. I need to know specifically about that specific thing. Another thing that I said is, you know, again, speaking to me and speaking to others, that, you know, Mike has, and this again could be missed, this is not, but this is an example of what could be. This isn't exactly what it was, but Ike would say, well, you know why Mike's wrong. He's got mental illness. He's got a mental problem. He's got mental illness. I said, whoa, I know Mike. The implication, though, is that he's crazy. But Mike has suffered with depression in the past. And that is a mental illness. Now, the picture that was being painted by just saying he's mentally ill was very significant. We had painted an inaccurate picture of what was going on, and it was inflammatory. I had to delve in and say, well, wait a second, what do you mean by that? And then secondly, all of these things across the board, Mike was not talking to other people, defending his position, reframing the truth, doing any of this. He was just staying away from the argument. He was just being quiet and not getting involved, not speaking ill of Ike. He would just sit there and, for the most part, hoping that things would dissolve. But when Ike would come around, he'd have issue and say, you know, essentially he would react or behave in a way that he wanted Ike out of there. And he was clearly not happy with Ike's behavior. Ike, on the other hand, was talking to everyone that he could. Ike was talking to all of Mike's friends, myself, talking to anyone that they could to paint this, reframe this truth, to make themselves appear as though Mike was a bad guy. Now, in this circumstance, you can see the behavior. You can see the truth being used to hurt. And also, Mike, at one point, trusted Ike with the fact that he had mental illness. He trusted Ike with the fact that the mental, or the, and I want the depression, that he was depressed and that he had this issue. And Ike should have held that in confidence under all circumstances, should not have betrayed Mike's confidence. And it hurts my heart even thinking about that, because I've been the victim of that. It's that thing that I spoke about where you do expose your vulnerabilities to the people you love. You expose your weaknesses, you expose your flaws, and you hope and pray that they'll hold these things in confidence, because they are not something that Mike was proud of or that Mike would want advertised. But it was the truth, and Ike used the truth as a weapon and misrepresented the truth by giving these little bite-sized segments, these little inflammatory statements that were not false, but were inflammatory. So you can see where honesty is a very fickle bitch, excuse my term, talking about a pregnant female dog here, a female dog, a very fickle thing. It's not cut and dry. It's not do this, you must be honest. Transparency also becomes an issue. People need not know everything about you, all of your flaws, all of your weaknesses, all of your misgivings, everything that you're dealing with. And there was a time where I have dealt with people that were so deceptive. I was dealing with such deception that I became very guarded, and I started to be a little bit deceptive. And I'll tell you,
And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected, whether that's much wisdom, much intelligence, much money, much charisma, much family. To whom much is given, much is expected. And I do believe that I have been given much in certain areas, and specifically this area where I just step out of line slightly, and I was deceptive, and it bit me. It bit me. It hurt me in a major way. So I became extremely honest, transparent. I could not, a deceptive word could not come out of my mouth for fear of consequence, the consequence that I had already faced. And I believe that God does allow those things. He allows the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And he allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. People say, why do good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? Well, we can't know the reasons, but we do know that God does allow the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. We're all in this big sandbox together, and maybe he's trying to encourage somebody who may have been doing terrible things. We don't know. We can't understand. But I do know that I learn from these consequences of my actions, and I can see the effects of these things. But clearly honesty is not as cut and dry as just always tell the truth. There are certain points where it's not the good thing to tell the truth. There are times when to protect others, it may be called for to use deception. And when you take that, it's a tool that I like to call, you have your tool belt, right? And you know, if you need to do certain jobs, honesty and dishonesty are things that you keep in your tool belt there. It's a very significant weapon, and it can have a significant effect on your relationships, on your life, and on you internally. And you can tell when somebody's really being deceptive in a negative way. It has harmful effects on themselves. I know people that are compulsive liars. I mean, they cannot lie to their own detriment, or they cannot tell the truth to their own detriment. If they're in a position where they have to tell the truth about themselves, about their motives, about their intentions, it would make them look like terrible people. And I understand that. I call that stepping into the light, which I very often do. As soon as I find myself where I've been deceptive, I have to take a minute, or sometimes days, but I have to resolve it. I have to make sure that I get that out of there. And that means that I have to step into the light, and I have to let people see things as they are. Now, if you've gotten off all the crap off of you, and you don't carry these deceptions with you, and you haven't misrepresented yourself, and you step into the light often, hopefully you're not filthy. But there are people that the longer you dwell in this, the more difficult it is to step into the light, to expose yourself for who you, to expose the truth to people. There are people that could never, and I know that they couldn't. People that are close to me that could not step into the light. It would be horrific. It would be so much for people to see them for who they truly are and what they've truly done and the consequences of their actions. It'd be very difficult. Now, on a one-on-one basis, you hope that the people that are in your life and the people closest to you live in the light with you, that they step into the sunshine, that they're always there. And when they misstep, they come right in and you get it off. You clean each other off as quickly as possible. One of the things, and that's why the example that Christ uses, where his blood covers us and cleanses us. When he was cleaning Peter's feet, and Peter said, "You don't have to clean my feet. What are you doing? You're the the Son of God. You're the voice. It's, no, no, no. I have to clean your feet, man, because they're dirty. And the greatest of these is the servant king, the person who's looking out for the other person. So in order to help people get through their deceptive behavior, it's very important that you say it's okay. And I've done this. I've said it's okay to tell me everything. And they need to know that it's okay to tell me. Now, you have to make your decision, your determination. For example, if someone has, this is the easiest example here in a relationship. If someone has cheated on you or has been unfaithful to you, it's going to be very difficult for them to tell you that. For the most part, these things are done in the dark, right? But that relationship is doomed. We know that. We know that those relationships are doomed. You've seen it, and I don't want to say that I'm incapable. These things happen. But to tell the person that it's okay to tell me this, that does not mean that you'll still be with that person. That means, in my case, that I could never be with that person again, that they've destroyed that circumstance. But you have to give them the chance. They don't want that. That's the issue. When they know that, that will destroy everything, it becomes very difficult for them to do it. Imagine you're saying you're going to lose this or you're going to lose that if you do this. If you step into the light, you stand to lose everything. And they can't go all the way in the light. Sometimes they'll put their foot in and say, yeah, I did this, but they could never tell you all that they've done. The spirit will guide you for the most part, but they could never. It's very difficult. The more lies they carry with them, that for them to step into the light and get those all off. And that's why I do, even though I'm not a big proponent of, some of these programs that people get into, I do recommend, especially with someone, and you'll find people that have carries this weight of these deceptions with them, that they go into therapy, that they have to have someone, a safe place to be able to be honest. And even then, I've been in some of these with, some couples stuff, and even then they can't be honest and open. So it's very difficult for people to resolve outstanding issues, which is why I've made it a practice in my journey seeking righteousness here and trying to be a high-minded individual to address those things outright, to apologize and to be genuine, and to have remorse. And remorse is very important. And I was going to do a whole topic on remorse, but I don't think I have enough real content there. I can sum it up in these latter minutes of this show here, that remorse is important because it takes you through understanding that the behavior is something that you do not want to repeat. And when you show someone that you have remorse, and that was the one thing that was missing in my previous issues that I've dealt with people, where somebody would apologize, but they did not have remorse. They did not feel remorse. And as a matter of fact, they kept saying, well, why do you keep bringing this up? I can't deal with it. Well, you don't seem to understand the effect of your behavior. You don't seem to understand the effect of your deception. The effect on me. So they haven't given it consideration. They haven't given it understanding. And they did not have remorse. The remorse takes you to the point of resolution. Remorse sometimes is long lasting based on the behavior or the action. To have remorse. Remorse brings you to repentance, to going the other way. And remorse will carry as long as the other person. So if I've deceived someone and it's affected them in a negative way, my remorse should carry over and should be with me until that person has been able to get over the dishonesty or the wound that I've inflicted. And that may take years, and I'm willing to go down that road. And until that person is healed from it, I will continue to feel remorse. Now, people will use that and they'll carry it longer. So remorse helps the other person understand that you're genuinely sorry for being deceptive And the other person needs to see that when someone is remorseful, that is showing them that they're genuine, and that needs to go until the wound is healed. And the wounds and the scars, they still pop up. And it's the onus is on that other person, the person who's inflicted this wound of being deceptive or dishonest or damaging the person's life or painting a picture out in the world. When you hear someone gossiping and telling you something that's self-serving, something that makes them look good and makes another person look bad, i.e. when Ike was saying that Mike had mental illness, it's inappropriate. There's no place for that. And more than likely, it's an inflammatory thing. As I said, Mike was depressed, but sure, of course he was depressed. Of course he was dealing with those issues. Normal human beings do that. But people aren't giving you the whole story. When someone says, Mike threatened me, well, what's the whole story? You have to delve down. On its surface, it paints a specific picture. But in reality, it's more complicated. It's more involved. And in those circumstances, when somebody's trying to make one person a bad guy in exchange for making themselves look like a good guy, you have to perceive that even that behavior in itself makes Ike the bad guy. The fact that Ike is attacking and creating subterfuge, they're team building in a negative way. They're building an army against. They're creating a picture to build themselves up as either a victim or a hero. And they're painting all these pictures. People need to make those determinations themselves. And specifically, hopefully you go off the information when two people are not in a dispute, when they're not in conflict with each other, and you know someone during normal circumstances, that's when you can get an honest picture and you can trust that people are being honest about things. But when two people are in conflict, you almost have to dismiss everything out of hand that either of them say, and just analyze from yourself and try to know the people outside of the conflict. Not within the conflict, because within the conflict, people will use weapons, any weapon at their disposal. Hopefully not everybody. Some people, like myself, I don't like to go on the attack. As a matter of fact, I like to let the other person, if they're going to, expose themselves for being the type of person that would go on the attack to someone that maybe, like Ike claimed, that Ike loved Mike for many years, or that they had, but if that was the case, then how could Ike speak this way or betray Mike's trust or confidence or, want this bad for Mike? I do have another friend, former husband and wife. They divorced, but after they divorced, his wife was my friend. She said that she would always be there for him. That if he was in the hospital, and he was at one point in the hospital, she would, even though they were divorced and they had their issues, she stood by his side and sat by his bed, and she was there for him whenever he had any issues. That indicated to me that she did love him when they were married, at least, that it was real love, because having that willingness or the ability to hurt or to use Mike's weaknesses against him is a very, very horrible thing, because they were always there, but very difficult. So now you can see how the truth can be wielded as a weapon. So honesty, in closing, is a very fickle virtue. It's a very difficult virtue that has, and a very complex and complicated virtue that in your journey to righteousness, I would propose that you invest significant time in analyzing your behavior on it and how you're going to use it and when it's appropriate, and that being completely honest all the time is not, but hopefully to be honest for someone's feelings and to give them the truth so that they can make decisions in the truth is important. Thanks for listening. Bye.